Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in as we come to you live this Sunday night, December the 17th. Tonight we talk about that day that is coming. You may not believe it's coming. You may not think it's coming. You might wish to put it off indefinitely, but the day is coming. And Scripture is pretty clear from beginning to end that the end will come. And with the end, judgment. Christians confess that we believe that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. It's the last thing that we say about Jesus in the historic creed. So what will that judgment be? What will it look like? What will be the basis for that judgment? Do we have any reason to fear? We're going to be answering those questions tonight on Issues Etc. as we talk about Judgment Day with Dr. Lewis Brighton. Now, I'd love to hear from you tonight on the issue of Judgment Day. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address for your questions and comments. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, the listeners with the best questions or comments tonight will receive the End Times issue of a great publication called Good News Magazine. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Lewis Brighton is Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. Dr. Brighton, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, nice to see you. Nice to be with you. Thank you.
Paint a picture for us. What does Scripture say Judgment Day will be like? What can we expect to see and to hear on Judgment Day?
Well, the whole human race will stand before the Lord Christ. The Lord Christ has earned the right to carry out the judgment under the authority of the Heavenly Father because he gave his life to win salvation for all people. And those who reject him or never come to believe in him, they will be judged guilty of all their sins. And, well, as they are found guilty of all their sins because they did not come to Jesus to have his forgiveness cover them, they will then be cast into eternal suffering, eternal death, and hell. Now, the day itself, our Lord will come at a particular day that only he and the Heavenly Father and Holy Spirit have in mind, of course. We don't know. But on that particular day, he will come with all of his glory from heaven and all the angels with him. And he will raise up all the dead, both the unbelievers and the believers, and all who still should be living at that time. They won't go through the death. He will gather the whole human race before him, past, present, and future, the whole human race before him. And as he said in the parable in the Gospels, he'll separate the believers from the unbelievers, like the sheep from the goats. And he will then address the unbelievers and all their sins. He will judge them for all their sins and cast them out in hell. And then he will come and judge the believers. He will say nothing about our sins whatsoever. That will astound us perhaps at first, because all of our sins have been forgiven, have been washed away by the blood that he shed on the cross. And he'll say nothing about our sins at all. He will only compliment us for the good works we did for him. And we'll stand in awe, good works. I just remember my sins, oh Lord, not my good works. Well, inasmuch as you helped save someone, feed someone, clothe someone, you did it unto me. That's astounding. That's really something.
So these two groups that are assembled before Christ on the Day of Judgment, believers and unbelievers, both of these groups are sinners, but they are judged differently.
Yes.
So that we make no mistake about this, so we can go on to talk about some of the other details about Judgment Day. Why will some be judged for their sins and others be judged as though they had not sinned?
Those who will be judged because of their sins did not come to Christ in faith to ask his forgiveness, did not come to believe in him as the Savior. So their sins still stick to them, as it were. While the believers, since we all have brought our sins to Jesus, O Heavenly Father, forgive us because Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Our sins have been obliterated, washed away from us by the blood that he shed. So he will not judge us for our sins because they don't have them. They're all gone. While the unbelievers, because they never came to Jesus to have their sins taken away, he'll judge them by their sins then.
So should Christians fear Judgment Day?
Well, yes and no. We'll be astounded when he comes in all of his glory, like John saw him in the book of Revelation. We'll be astounded, and we momentarily could, oh, he's coming to judge. But then he comes as the Lamb of God, as our Savior. All fear disappears, and only joy and confidence and peace and hope as he comes to touch us and to, in our resurrected bodies, give us eternal life on the new earth.
Now, there's a troublesome passage that we probably should deal with right away. And it gives trouble to Christians because they read everywhere that it will be those who trust in Christ who will pass through this judgment into eternal life. And then Paul says, everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds that he has done in the body. Mm-hmm. And he makes it sound as though Judgment Day will be a day in which our deeds will be weighed, and those who have done evil, eternal judgment, those who have done good, eternal reward.
Yes, yes.
And it makes it sound as though we're going to be judged on the basis of our deeds. But yes. How do you reconcile that with everything you said here?
Because you see, the good works that we do out of love for Jesus, inspired through our faith by the Holy Spirit in Jesus, these good works do not earn salvation for us, but these good works demonstrate to everyone else our faith in Jesus. Our faith produced those good works, the Holy Spirit through our faith. So our good works demonstrate our faith. And he will then show to all the people then stand before him, you see, they are my people because their works demonstrate that they have faith in me. And that's why he'll point out our good works. While the unbelievers have only their sins will then point out the unbelief.
As we try to kind of prejudge this situation, Dr. Brighton, we look at believers and unbelievers. And we see unbelievers doing all sorts of magnanimous good works. Sometimes what they are more generous, more caring, it appears, than even believers. They can be kind. They can help their neighbor. They can give to the poor. They can do all sorts of things that appear to be good works. What of this on Judgment Day?
Well, those works are done from one selfish attitude. Unbelievers do it only to gain something for themselves, either to treat other people, hope that they will treat them the same way or something, and they hope to gain something from those works. It's done from a selfish attitude, an attitude of self-love, an attitude of using other people, or however you want to think of it. And even those who have a sense of helping other people, they don't do it out of love for God, love Jesus, but out of love for themselves and how they can be helped in return.
Is it one judgment or is it several judgments? People who've read the Left Behind series of books and are familiar with kind of the dispensational end times theology, I know you're familiar with that too, will say, well, it sounds as though from that reading of Scripture, there's going to be judgment of believers and then judgment of unbelievers, maybe two or three judgments spoken of in Scripture. Is it one, or is it many judgment days?
No, just one judgment day. Just one judgment day, yeah. There's the Left Behind series has it all wrong. It's not true to Scripture, actually. And there's only one judgment day. Of course, the moment we die, in a sense, we have been judged to go to heaven or to go to hell, our souls. But that judgment won't be made public until the great judgment at the end when Christ comes and raises all from the graves, unbelievers and believers alike. Then that judgment that has already taken place individually in our heart will be made public then.
Some people picture Judgment Day and they think of that multitude of, you said, the whole human race from all time assembled before Christ resurrected in the body. And they think, that's going to take decades, centuries for Christ to individually judge every human soul. How long will it take? Does Scripture give us any picture?
Well, it's in God's time. He would say instantaneously, actually. But that's in God's time, of course. But we won't be aware of any time going by in that sense. But it'll be instantaneously.
We're talking with Dr. Lewis Brighton tonight about Judgment Day on Issues, etc. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's December the 17th. Dr. Brighton is Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. He's author of a Concordia commentary on Revelation. You've heard his thoughts and his reading of Scripture on Judgment Day very briefly here in the first 10 minutes or so. Now I want to know what you think. What do you think Judgment Day will be like? Give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. You might have come across a troublesome passage of your own regarding Judgment Day, and you'd like to have Dr. Brighton deal with it tonight on the program. That's why we're coming to you live, and that's why we ask for your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why you should consider attending their annual symposia, January the 16th through the 19th.
Well, if you like this show and you're listening now, then the symposia at the seminary are definitely for you, because this is a time for 3 or 4 days to get together with fellow Christians who are interested in theology, talking about the things of God, and wonderful time for socialization, to be with others who care about God, and to talk about these things, and a wonderful time to be in worship, and to go further into the kinds of issues that you talk about so well on your radio program.
The theme for this year's symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Christian Identity in a Pagan World, Issues, Etc., will be broadcasting live. For more information, call Concordia Theological Seminary, 260-452-2241, or go to our website, issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues, Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Folks, we've only got 14 days to reach our goal of 300 Issues, Etc. Reformation Club members by the end of the year. That's 14 days till the end of the year, and our goal is 300 members. We currently have 252 Reformation Club members. Now, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club is our monthly or annual donor program. When you join, you'll receive premiums like monthly tapes, books, transcripts, and everyone who joins before the end of the year or renews their membership in the Reformation Club will receive the new I Have Issues t-shirt. You can check it out at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Now you can join by credit card. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. You can join by check. Write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can join online. Our website address again, issuesetc.org. Now, if you've benefited from listening to Issues, Etc. in the past year, please consider joining the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. To find out more, just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Dr. Lewis Brighton is our guest. We're talking about Judgment Day tonight on Issues, Etc. Before the break, you said that believers have no reason, real reason, to fear in the face of Judgment Day. The question that we didn't answer completely is, why? You said Jesus has forgiven all our sins, but why can we face Judgment Day as believers without any fear at all?
Because God put His own Son, Jesus, on trial and judged Him for all of our sins, all the sins we've committed and may sadly still commit. He treated Jesus as if He'd committed those sins. He put His own Son on trial and judged Him, having done our sins, as it were, because he transferred all of our guilt from ourselves to him, and he found his son guilty of our sins and just pronounced death upon him, and that's why he died on the cross.
So there are really two judgment days that stand in history. The one that comes first, where Christ answers for our sins in judgment before his Father at the cross.
Yes.
And the other at the end of time, where Christ will stand as judge of the living and the dead. And for believers, is it safe to say our judgment day has already come in the cross of Christ?
In a sense that he has already paid for our guilt, and there's no double jeopardy with God. We cannot be put on trial again for our sins because Jesus stood trial for us. So in Jesus, I've already been found guilty of my sins, and he suffered the guilt and punishment by his death on the cross.
What about those passages in Revelation that show us that all of our sins are recorded? There are passages about books, and the books are opened, and they're read, and they're examined. And this is a fearful thing for Christians to consider, that everything we have done has
been
recorded. But
the only thing that are written in those books, Christians, are the good works we did, not our sins. There are no sins. Gone. Now, sadly, the unbelievers who never came to believe in Jesus for whatever reason, in the books, yes, their sins are recorded there, and then they'll be judged accordingly. But Christians, no, those books only have our good works, not our sins.
But even my good works, you know this as well as I do, Dr. Bryden, even the good works that I do as a Christian by the Holy Spirit are not pure good works.
No.
My heart is never pure in doing
that. That's right.
What about that?
God accepts them as pure because he knows you're doing it out of faith in Jesus. He knows you're always sorry for your sins. You're always clinging to Jesus and him alone, his death and resurrection for forgiveness and life. And God then accepts your works as if they were perfect. And he accounts you as if you were perfect. You see, God now looks upon us as perfect, righteous people, even though we're not. And he knows we're not. He knows better than we do we're not. But he accounts us as perfectly righteous because Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He kept all the laws for us perfectly, and that's credited to our account by the Holy Spirit and faith. And all the guilt that we should have given account for, that's all been taken for us because Christ was found guilty in our place.
One of the tricky things about Judgment Day, Dr. Bryden, is that no one knows the day or the hour. That's something you pointed out early on in our conversation. Only the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit now know when this day and this hour will come of judgment. Now, to come back to those who spend a lot of time thinking about the end times, those dispensational theologians of today, they say that at least as we get closer to that day, we can start to know when the day and the hour will come. They say that prior to the judgment, there will be a secret rapture of the church, that there will follow a seven-year tribulation of the church, wherein people will have kind of 7 years to straighten up or to believe in Jesus Christ, a second chance, if you will. Can we expect a secret rapture or a seven-year tribulation before the judgment day?
Not in the way it's described. We have been in a tribulation ever since Christ went back to heaven. And there's no such thing as just 7 years tribulation. See, that comes in the book of Revelation. That number seven counts the whole time period from Christ's resurrection or ascension up to the end. Now, it's true, as we get closer to the end, as Jesus describes it in Mark 13 and the parallels of Matthew 24, Luke 21, things get more and more terrifying, like an up and down a graph. So we know that the end is coming quickly, more quickly than, say, maybe 1,000 years ago or even 100 years ago. But we don't know exactly when, what day, but our Lord wants us to know it's coming and to be ready for it any moment. And as we see things becoming more and more sinful, more decadent, more evil, it indicates that it's coming closer and closer. But when, that's still in only God's mind.
So we should be watching for the signs that Jesus said would come.
Yes.
But we should not be attempting to say,
to predict the exact date and time and hour, yes.
There's a picture that is, I don't know where it came from, but it is so common among Christians. Many Christians either believe it or they talk about it as though they believe it. One day I'm going to die, and then, after death, I'm going to appear at the pearly gates, and there will be someone, God, St. Peter, somebody standing there at the pearly gates asking the question, Why should I let you into heaven? Does Scripture contain any kind of hint at something like that, as though a believer would die and then undergo one last interrogation before entering heaven?
Nothing in Scripture like that at all. That's just an imagination. No, no, not at all, no. The moment, you see, actually, Christians who believe in Jesus with their faith and heart, we don't die. The Bible also says we just fall asleep. Instantly we fall asleep, we call death. Our souls are with God in heaven, and our bodies, of course, are put to the ground and go slowly back to dust. But Jesus always called it to sleep. We don't really die. Death cannot possibly touch us. It's impossible because Christ suffered death for us on the cross. So the very moment that we die, as we call it, humanly speaking, we fall asleep, and instantly our souls are with God in heaven. And there's no testing. Are you sure to go to heaven and so forth? No, not at all, none whatsoever.
When we come back from this break, one other question on the end times view that is so popular among Christians today. Now, there are those who might say, okay, we don't know when the rapture is going to occur. We don't know when a 7-year tribulation may occur. But we do know that the end times timetable, the stopwatch of the end times, has restarted. It's ticking again because in 1948, the modern nation state of Israel was reestablished. And that's a sign of biblical prophecy. And at the very least, they say, we can look to that as the sign that judgment's closer now than it was before. Is that true? Should we be observing what's happening with the modern nation state of Israel to determine matters concerning Christ's second coming and the judgment? We're talking about Judgment Day tonight on Issues Etc. Dr. Lewis Brighton is our guest. He's Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. Now give us a call during this break with your thoughts and your comments on Judgment Day. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or send us your email. We get it right here in the studio in real time to answer your questions and comments. Issues, etc@kfuo.org. We do have several resources on the issue of end times theology, including where Judgment Day falls in the whole scheme of things, posted at our website under the What's New section, issuesetc.org. Look for the What's New link, issuesetc.org. We'll be right back. Talk more with Dr. Lewis Brighton about Judgment Day. Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon, on why you should support LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief is so important because it gives flesh to the love that Christ commands us to have. I'm reminded of the words from 1 John, where the apostle wrote, "Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." And when you support LCMS World Relief, that is precisely what you're doing. You're loving in deed and in truth. You're providing food for the hungry and shelter for the homeless and clothing for the naked. It's a way that the love of Christ is actually incarnate and touches these people's lives, and it's just a wonderful thing.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or call them, area code 314-996-1683, 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
From heaven above to earth I come.
This popular Christmas hymn is the theme of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. It's titled From Heaven Above. It's a picture book for children ages 6 through 9. You can find out more about From Heaven Above on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. From Heaven Above costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040. This children's book uses the text of traditional hymns and classical style illustrations to depict the events of that first Christmas night. From Heaven Above, A Christmas Carol by Martin Luther. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. This Christmas, teach your young child or grandchild about the fulfillment of God's promise to send His people a Savior from heaven above.
Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through His Word, His sacraments, and we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit our website, issuesetc.org. The Christmas hymn, Once in Royal David's City. We're going to be studying that hymn next week on Issues Etc. Dr. Arthur Jest of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, click on the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the homepage, be sure to find out more about an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. You can find their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or make a year-end tax-deductible gift to LCMS World Relief by calling them 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, Christ-centered, cross-focused relief, Pastor Matt Harrison, and LCMS World Relief. We're talking about Judgment Day. Dr. Lewis Brighton is our guest. Dr. Brighton, you had mentioned before the break that the whole notion of secret rapture, the tribulation, all of those things, do, at least according to the Left Behind series, do not follow what Scripture has to say.
No.
But let's talk about those things as Scripture does describe them. You already mentioned the tribulation from Christ's ascension into heaven until He comes again. What about the rapture? There is that passage in 1 Thessalonians.
Yes. First off, the rapture, the idea of rapture, the very moment we come to faith in Jesus, we have this rapture, this joy, this rapture by faith. We do not yet have it in our body because our body is still suffering death and sin. But the moment we go to heaven, and then especially at the resurrection, and we live in a new earth forever, we have that rapture. But we have this rapture just as much now as when we were in heaven, but it's by faith only now. Then it will be by faith and also at the resurrection, also our body.
So as Paul says, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places now by faith in Him.
Yes.
At the last day when He comes to judge, we will be seated in the heavenly places,
yes,
in the body,
yes,
with Him.
Yes. And of course, rapture in Thessalonian letters there refers to the fact that we are caught up with Christ when He comes at the end. Our souls will come with Him, you know, and our bodies are raised. But also, rapture has this note of rapture, joy and hope and joy in Jesus. And we have it now by faith.
Now, you also wanted to address a right understanding of Israel. We mentioned before the break that many Christians believe the 1948 establishment of the nation state of Israel signaled the beginning of the end and the imminence of Christ's return. What does Scripture really teach regarding Israel?
Well, the fact that Jesus said that the Jewish race itself would not disappear until the end, and still be living until the end. And Paul speaks of the Jewish people in Romans, and he encourages them to come to come believe in Jesus, you know, so forth. But now, the fact that God gave Israel back to the Jewish people, say, in 1948, it shows us that he still loves them and he wants them to come to accept the Messiah. I took your land away from you because you have completely denied what I have done for you through my son Jesus. You know, way back in Nebuchadnezzar, how they took him in captivity in the 6th century B.C., where also the Bar Kappa revolt in 124 and so forth, he took the land away again. But he has given the land back to, look, I give you this land that is to be a picture of the real land I want to give to you, that the Messiah won for you, the holy land, the heaven, to live with me forever. And then when Abraham was led to the new land, he didn't know where he was going, you remember. But he went, and God gave him this land, and he knew that this was only a type, a picture of the real land, God, the real promised land, was to be with God forever in heaven. So he always lived in that land in a tent, you remember.
So the fact that the descendants of Abraham by blood are dwelling in the geography of Israel now is more God continuing to deal faithfully.
Yes.
In calling his people of the Old Testament to repentance.
That's right.
Then a sign for Christians to watch of the end times.
He's being faithfully kept in the promise. He's given this land again to them as a wonderful push. I want to give you the real land that this land represents, heaven and the Messiah.
One other quick question on that. So should Christians be watching the news for what's going on in the modern state of Israel to determine God's end times timetable, the imminence of Christ's return, or to determine what's going to happen in the second coming of Christ?
No, it doesn't refer to that, really. No. It indicates how God still wants the Jewish people to come back to him in the Messiah. And if they don't, they're going to be lost forever, like you and I would be lost if we didn't come to Jesus.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Sunday night, December the 17th. Now, we are giving away the end times issue of Good News Magazine to listeners with the best questions or comments on our topic for tonight, Judgment Day, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones and talk first with Steve in Zeeland, Michigan. Steve, thanks for waiting and welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to speak with you, Dr. Brighton, and as well as you, Todd. I listen to you very often, and this is the first time I've had the opportunity to call in. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the judgment day you spoke of, the goats and the sheep and the goats. And I thought it was really interesting that Paul kind of gives us an understanding of what it means to be blessed when you speak of blessing in Romans chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And there he obviously says there that the blessed one is those whose sins are forgiven. And then down in verse 41 in Matthew 25, where it says, cursed those on the left hand, that what it means to be cursed. Paul also gives us a great insight into this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, where it says, cursed are those who do not continue in all the law to do it. And you really see this with the goats when he says, as often as you did not do it. There is that a very clear rendering of, hey, you didn't do it enough, like the law demands. And wouldn't you say, Dr. Brighton, that there's maybe the biggest confusion is the confusing of the right hand and the left hand, where we mix these two hands up. You think of like Jonah. At the end there, God says to Jonah, shouldn't I have saved these people in Nineveh, seeing they don't know their right hand from their left? They can't discern it. And I think also where it says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. And isn't it true that Christ is that right hand that was cut off for us.
Steve, thank you very much. A good question and several comments there. And stay on hold. I'm going to send you the Good News Magazine End Times issue, and thanks for the call. He's marshaled some passages there about what it really means to be blessed and cursed, and laid it there right in front of that Matthew 24 passage we were talking about before. What do you make of his comments?
Yes, I would agree with him, what he just said. According to Christ's right hand was cut off. Well, if he means by that Christ was cut off, cursed in our place by God, so God wouldn't have to curse us and cut us off and send us to hell. Well, yes, I would understand that way, yes.
It sounds as though a basic distinction between law and gospel must be maintained to properly understand
judgment.
Like you
said, the right hand from the left hand, yes, very definitely, yes.
Those who went to account before God apart from Christ will answer to the law in its fullness and sternness.
Yes.
And those who will account before God in Christ hear nothing but gospel.
That's right. That's right. That God will say nothing about their sins whatsoever, only the works that they did for him, because Christ, that the blood that is shed on the cross has washed away all their sins, and they receive this by their faith in Jesus as their Savior.
1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Jim in Nakusa, Wisconsin. He listens on WGNV. Hi, Jim. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. How you doing? It's good to be with you. I just had a few comments about the rapture. I was wanting to ask the gentleman whether or not he actually believed in an actual rapture prior to the judgments that were going to come upon the world.
And you have any other questions, Jim?
Yes. And that if when one refers to the sixth chapter of Revelation, that he spoke and said that we were under tribulation since Christ has left, which I agree with, because in chapter 5, who was worthy to open a scroll, and obviously it was the Lamb, which was Jesus Christ, and when he got to heaven, he began to, I believe, as soon as he took the scroll, the seals were beginning to be opened, and which gave us indications for almost a timetable, and also keys. At the end of chapter 6, he says, I watched and he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars fell to the earth as late figs dropped from a fig tree.
All right, a couple of questions there, and we will get Dr. Brighton's response on the other side of this break. Does he believe in an actual rapture prior to the judgment? And what about Revelation chapter 6? Does it indicate an end times timetable? We'll be answering those questions as we talk about Judgment Day in the last 10 minutes of this first hour with Dr. Lewis Brighton when we come back. Now, Christmas Eve, believe it or not, is just 1 week from today. If you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift for a child, a grandchild, a godchild, anywhere from ages, say, 6 through 9, think about our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, called From Heaven Above by Martin Luther. You can find out more about this picture book for kids at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. From Heaven Above costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. The number again, 1-800-325-3040. It's called From Heaven Above, and it's our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we'll respond to Jim's questions on Judgment Day with Dr. Lewis Brighton. Martin Luther wrote the Christmas carol, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, in 1531 for his 5-year-old son. It became a part of the Christmas Eve celebration in the Luther home. In the Luther family tradition, a man dressed as an angel would sing the opening verses, and the children would respond with the rest of the carol. You and your children and grandchildren can continue this Christmas time celebration. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December is called From Heaven Above. It's based on this famous carol by Martin Luther. From Heaven Above is a beautifully illustrated children's book. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and find the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, From Heaven Above.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172, or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc.
Well, folks, here's a great way to kick off 2007. You can join our Issues, Etc. as we broadcast live from the annual symposia, January the 16th through the 19th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Issues, Etc. regular guests Dr. Arthur Jest, Larry Rast, Peter Scare, Daryl Hart, and Robert Benny are just some of the speakers at this annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can find out more about this symposia. It's January the 16th through the 19th by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here's their number. It's area code 260-452-2241, area code 260-452-2241. Dr. Brighton, before the break, Jim was on the line. He had two questions, one pertaining to a rapture. Do you think there will be an actual rapture, that is, a catching up of the church prior to judgment? Your answer to that question.
We will be caught up when our Lord comes at the very moment to judge us, yes. We'll be caught up with him, and then we will come down with him to this earth, yes. But it will happen at the same time. There's not two separate things.
So that Thessalonians passage is not about a secret rapture sometime prior to Christ's second coming and judgment.
No,
but in fact, it's talking about the second coming and judgment
itself.
That's right,
yeah. Now, you could say that each individual Christian, as we go through death, we are caught up and taken to heaven. Our souls are, yes. But the universal rapture will be at the end when our Lord comes in judgment, yes.
The other question that Jim posed was based on Revelations chapter 6. Can we look into that chapter of the book of Revelation and start to set a timetable of tribulation leading up to the end times?
Chapter 6 covers the whole New Testament era from Christ's ascension up to the end. So the whole 2,000 years that we have been through, that's the whole tribulation. And chapter 6, when our Lord opens up the seals, you know, that covers the whole time period from his ascension up to the end, whenever that will be yet.
Linda is listening in New Orleans on WSHO. Linda, thanks for being patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Good evening, gentlemen. I have a question in view of Dr. Brighton's view, which I don't question. This is sincere ignorance. I wondered, and I don't know whether this appears in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, but it's a part that's bothered me for a long time, where it says God visits them with a delusion, and in short, that they are unable to believe. Now, in view of the context of what's gone before, does that apply to now or at some later date? I always thought it perhaps applied to the tribulation, those 7 years, rather than right now. And a second part implied by that would also mean that a judgment has also occurred, perhaps in part, on unbelievers. And I had always understood that you have up till your dying breath to make, you know, to believe. So I'd like both of those answers.
Okay, Linda, you've posed two good questions, and they're actually really kind of one question posed two different ways. What do we do with this passage from Paul where he talks about God sending upon them a strong delusion, as though this is already kind of the rumblings of God's judgment in advance on unbelief.
Yes, God's doing this all the time, ever since Christ went back to heaven. People who refuse to believe in Jesus and make fun of him and curse him and tell lies about him like it's being done, yes, he will send them a delusion that will show them he's judging them now and even before the end. Hopefully God would, by such judging now, disillusion, that would shake them up to fear him, that he's going to come to kill them in hell forever in hell, to shake them up, to lead them to repentance before it's too late. And if they don't, of course, they'll be lost forever.
So while it is judgment, it is temporal judgment, not final judgment.
Yes.
Not eternal judgment.
Yeah, the temporal judgment now is a picture of the eternal judgment. He wants them to see through the temporal judgment. He wants to see the eternal judgment, that they fear it now so that they have time to repent. And then, of course, that judgment will be taken away from them.
Does he send the same kind of temporal judgment upon believers who may need a call to repentance?
Well, yes, God can always help us to repent of our sins by helping us to fear his judgment. Yes, you might say a temporary judgment. Yes, like David, when he committed sin against Bathsheba, he feared it. But then God, by moving to fear it, then he moved David to look to him for mercy and forgiveness in Jesus, the coming Messiah.
Brian writes this via email in Campbell, California. Is Judgment Day the same as the Second Coming? I ask because I've always assumed I would be judged at the time of my death. Is there a single moment when all are judged, a judgment day, or is this just in reference to those who are still living on earth?
No, I would say the moment we go through death, we're judged, heaven or hell. But the judgment at the end will make that public for everyone.
Can it be likened to a judgment being rendered by a judging court, but then the sentencing based upon that judgment has yet to be pronounced, and that is the final sentence?
Yeah, you could get to that, yes. What Linda asked before about the seven-year tribulation, well, there's no seven-year tribulation. The number seven, that tribulation covers the whole time period from Christ's ascension up to the end.
Let's talk a little bit about after judgment before we end this first hour. We've talked a lot about judgment itself, what's going to happen. What follows judgment for both those judged according to their sins and those judged according to Christ's suffering and death for them?
You're speaking about the judgment at the end?
Yes.
Yes. We who believe in Jesus, our bodies will be raised up, made new, the same body but made new. And we would live forever on the new heaven and new earth, forever. While the unbelievers will be judged to live a eternal death in hell. It's hard to even try to imagine.
So finally, on the subject of Judgment Day, what do you say tonight to an unbeliever who is listening to us?
My dear sir, my dear lady, repent of you to come to Jesus right now. The moment you come to believe in Jesus as your Savior, they died on the cross to save you and rose again to guarantee you eternal life. God has taken all judgment away from you because he has put all your judgment on Jesus. And you can have that peace and hope right now by faith. Though you will still sin and you will still have fears, yet the moment you keep turning to Jesus, the Holy Spirit puts you in a wonderful hope. You're not going to be judged because Christ was judged for you.
And what do you say to a Christian who trusts in the perfect life and death and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins? As you have just described there, calling the unbeliever, and yet still is fearful of Judgment Day. About 30 seconds.
I would say, just keep turning to Jesus. Keep turning to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was put on trial for your sins. Just keep turning to Jesus, and God will comfort you. You see, God sometimes can permit us to fear his judgment so he can all the more put us in his love and forgiveness and hope and peace in Jesus.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal, or you can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Our goal is to have 300 Reformation Club members by the end of this year, and as a way of saying thanks, we'll send you our new I Have Issues t-shirt. The number again, 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. I know that it is fearful. If I stop and think, dwell, and meditate upon those passages of Scripture that pronounce God's judgment, and they are all there from beginning to end, from Genesis until Revelation, it is a fearful prospect. The psalmist considered those things. He said, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who would stand?" And then he said, "But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared." Now, the fear of the believer in the face of Judgment Day will be different than the fear of the unbeliever. The unbeliever fears the unknown. He fears what he does not know, and what he does not know is the judge, Christ himself. The believer fears this judge not because this judge will judge him for eternal condemnation, but fears him because with him there is forgiveness, and therefore he is feared. So we face Judgment Day as believers, knowing the judge and knowing what the judge has done for us. Well, let's go over that one more time before we close tonight. This judge took on our human flesh. And in that human flesh, he bore in his body as a sacrifice at the cross, my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. He bore them so that he might answer for them under the judgment of his Father, under the judgment of God. And this he did at the cross, shedding his blood, giving his life in sentence, in penalty for our sins. If this is the judge who has borne your judgment for you, then Judgment Day, while we still fear in faith Judgment Day, it can hold no real fear of death or condemnation, for Christ has gone through death and condemnation for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the Worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.